I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and happy Friday. I'm Tracy B. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
This week we did our unearth to close out the year end of 2022. One question I think people might have in their minds is, Tracy, why did you not talk about the person who cracked the code on cave paintings, figuring out they're really some sort of calendar number one? That announcement came in 2023. Number two, I don't know if that's going to hold up because it's one of those things that has made a lot of headlines about an amateur person making what sounds like a groundbreaking discovery, and maybe it will hold up. Often, though, those don't. So I honestly was a little relieved when suddenly that was all over my feed on something like January 4th or something.
Right.
Because I was like, oh, we're going to have a good 3 months for people to like look at this and try to figure out whether it really holds up or not before I have to get into it in detail on Unearthed.
Yeah. See you in the spring.
Yep. It's already bookmarked. Things about it already bookmarked for the springtime unearths, which will probably come around early April to mid-April-ish, probably.
Right.
Based on how our stuff lines up. As I said, I don't care for watermelon. I don't care for any melon at all.
Is so fascinating to me.
But now I kind of want to try, you know, maybe sometime when there's other people eating watermelon and there's seeds, maybe want to try.
Roasted watermelon seeds.
Roasted watermelon seeds. People also sprout them, I think. I do really love roasted pumpkin seeds, but I also do like pumpkin.
Right.
Gourds are fine. Melons are bad.
This is so fascinating to me. I love melon in all of its incarnations.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite drinks that I make for people here at the house is involves a watermelon infused tequila.
Mm-hmm.
My husband, I may have mentioned before, cannot eat any melons. He's allergic. And so we have to be a little careful and judicious about having it in the fridge. Containers can't have any drips, kind of stuff. But he's one of those people that would love to eat melon. He loved it when he was a kid and didn't develop his allergy until later.
When we used to both live in Atlanta and there would be like, let's say we had lunch catered one day or something. If there was a fruit salad, I would always be like, the grapes and the strawberries are for me. Holly can have all of this melon.
Yeah, I forgot. I knew you didn't like honeydew. A lot of people don't like honeydew specifically in that iteration because it can, usually if you get a fruit salad, the honeydew, not in great shape often.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the same for cantaloupe. But I didn't know you didn't like watermelon.
Nope. All melon that I have ever tried, I have not liked. Which makes me think that maybe it is more of a mouthfeel thing than a flavor thing. But, like, my brain interprets it as a flavor that I don't like.
Huh. Would you ever do a test with, like, flavored syrups to see if you like the flavor but not the weird crunch and fiber?
Sure. I know for sure that I do not like fake watermelon flavor. That's bad. But like an actual melon syrup, I'd try it. Why not?
I have such a project now.
Oh, great. I'm very excited.
Like, I wonder if I could do like a set of small from the fruit simple syrups that I could mail you and you could test them in drinks or whatever and see if you
like
them.
That'd be great. We could even do that on like a Zoom call or whatever. You can see my reaction.
Watch her go blah, 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 blah. Tasting poison.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do want to try roasted watermelon seeds. I'm less enthused for some reason at the idea of sprouted watermelon seeds.
Yeah.
I do have a question for you on roasted pumpkin seeds.
Okay.
Do you like to eat them shell intact?
I think. Oh,
Because some people do, and that has never worked for me.
So when we have, it's been so long since we've done this, like when I've had a pumpkin or some other thing in that family that I have scooped the seeds out of and cleaned the seeds and roasted them, I have normally just eaten them as is. But like purchased from the store is normally like just the interior kernel part, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it depends is the answer.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like them. I only like the kernel version usually.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something too, like, splintery and woodsy about the shells that I don't enjoy.
Makes sense.
Boy, Utsi's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, we had gone for a bit without any Utsi updates, and I was like, it's been a while since we heard about Utsi. And then the headlines about this particular Utsi research that we talked about were really written in a, like, new paper calls into question entire timeline of Utsi and literally everything about him because there were other things that we did not get into that have been sort of the conventional Utsi wisdom that this paper was like, and also this is wrong. I don't think that's the actual tone of the paper, but because there are many instances where, especially if the paper is either open access or in a journal that I have access to, I'm often looking at the original paper, and that was not one where I was looking at the original paper.
Right.
I don't remember why. There were a few things, though, that were bookmarked on the list that did not wind up being in the episode, because when I read the press release about it, I was like, I am confused about what you are trying to tell me. And so then I said, maybe the original paper is a little clear. Nope, original paper, not clearer. Not sure what you're trying to say. We're just not going to be able to talk about this one because it makes no sense to me.
Were you as surprised as I was when you did the research as when I read your outline that no one had made a comprehensive list of people that had been confined to the camps in order 66?
No, I was
2066. Sorry, I'm confusing it with Star Wars things.
Yeah,
order 9066.
Yeah, I was simultaneously surprised and not surprised. Like I was
right.
Like, I nobody, and then I was like, oh, of course they didn't because.
I mean, I could see them not doing it then, but I am surprised that no researcher up to now has tried to compile this.
Yeah, and as far as I know, they had not. Everything about this made it sound like this was definitively the first attempt at a really comprehensive list. And I got really emotional at the idea of people being able to review this list and stamp names of either maybe people they were related to, people they knew, people their families knew, other people, and also sort of verifying and fact-checking the information that's in there to confirm names and spellings and that kind of stuff. The book itself, there are pictures of it, and it's simple, but also really beautiful and striking how enormous it is. Like it's 1,000 pages long. There were things that described how much it weighed, and I don't remember many pounds of book. And I don't think we said this in the episode. It is free to do the book, but I'm pretty sure you have to have like a timed entry ticket as part of the museum to do it, is gotcha. How I'm remembering that. So if you're going to go try to see the book, do look at the museum's website first. Get the right info about what you need to do to go there. Because I live on the other side of the country.
I was surprised when it came up in the outline how sort of moved and instantly transported I was talking about the Space Shuttle Challenger.
Yeah.
Because people in our age group, we were all in like middle and high school when that happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because there had been a teacher on board, I bet a lot of schools had teachers that had been part of that application program. I know that was the case at my school.
Mine too.
And it really, you know, it's not something I think about all the time, but then when it comes up in a way like this, I just kind of had a little lump in my throat for a moment.
Yeah, like I don't need an explanation of what the Space Shuttle Challenger was. As I remember it, we were not in school that day. There was some kind of teacher work day. So I was at the house of family friends who often looked after my brother and me when there was like a teacher work day. There was kind of their mom and our mom traded off with childcare to help each other out, like that kind of a situation. And I don't think we actually saw it live when it was happening, but we heard about it immediately. Somebody called or somebody came over or whatever. And then it was like it was on repeat on the television for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And as I was writing that little part of it, I didn't initially have an explanation of what the Challenger disaster was. And then I like remembered a lot of people are younger than us now and may know about the Challenger disaster, but like didn't have that visceral experience of having lived through it and seen it live on television in school in a lot of cases.
Yeah. Yeah.
My third grade teacher, because this happened, I guess this happened when I was in third grade, because I'm just a few years younger than you. Fourth grade?
Wait.
Elementary. What year was it?
I would have been 15, so I don't think you would have been in third grade, right? Or would you?
I think now we're going to have to do school math.
Some life math.
Oh, so, okay. This makes sense. My third grade teacher was in the application process.
There we go.
While I was in third grade.
Ta-da.
Disaster happened after that. But we all had to write letters on her behalf to NASA about what a great candidate she would be. I will say my classmates and I were not fond of our third grade teacher. We found her to be very strict. And so we were kind of like dragged into this letter writing effort. And then the whole thing took such a tragic turn. And like having that happen as a child is weird. Emotionally weird. Of course, it was not about us. We were just children who weren't directly connected to any of it, but it still gave it a weird layer.
Well, but I will say too, right? Like, I don't know what it was like at your school, but for me, and I totally like was into all of this, it was definitely like, this is the future where everyone is doing this so that your future will be different. And this is part of, you know, mankind's march to make every generation have better opportunity, knowledge, et cetera. Like it is kind of drilled in that it's for you in some ways when you're a kid. So I can see why you don't need to have a direct connection to it in terms of someone that you love or immediately know being part of it to feel that gravity of it as a kid.
Yeah. It was one of those moments that for people in our age group is like a thing that people remember where they were when it happened.
For sure. For sure.
So anyway, everybody who's our age knows this already.
Yes. Just one of those many, many things that happen in life that you remember forever.
Yep. I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/Papertarian. Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper, waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. How much do I love that Levi Strauss has appeared again?
Yeah.
Because I loved working on the episode we did on him. It's interesting that the tag that, you know, specified that it was all white labor came up. We mentioned it on our episode about him, but I just, one of the stories that has stuck with me, you know, we do so many shows. We don't always remember details of all of them. But one of the things that has always stuck with me was during that time when people were having such really racist anti-Chinese sentiment, and they discovered that Levi Strauss had a cutter who was Chinese, and they really criticized him over it and claimed that he was, you know, an American or whatever. And he had basically put out a statement that was like, if I could find a U.S. citizen who can do what this man does, I would hire them, but I never have. So this is what you got if you want me to keep making jeans. Like, it was just like one of those interesting stories that has stayed with me in the years since we have done it.
Yeah.
He was like, no, skilled labor is skilled labor, and I need this skill, and I can't find it anywhere else. So
I knew that there were people who went into old mines and stuff looking basically for old jeans.
I did not know that. I don't know how that's escaped my attention all these years.
That's something that I heard someone who cares about men's fashion talk about. And so it, like, I knew that was a thing that people would do, sort of like looking for old jeans in old mines and stuff. I really did not know that then they would sell at auction for six-figure numbers of dollars.
Holy Moses, right?
Or high five figures numbers of dollars in one case. One of the two pairs of jeans that we talked about, the way it was written up made it sound like almost like they were trying to flip these jeans to another buyer. And I was just like, this baffles me. Like, I am unlike Holly in that fashion is not a thing I think about a lot. And often I'm just like, do I have clothing on my body? I do. Great. And so the idea that, like, of anybody caring enough about jeans to, number one, go in old mines to look for them, and then number two, to buy them for $87,000 or whatever and then flip them. I was like, this is a whole foreign thing to me. I do not understand it.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was something that was apparently like an entire secondary collector market. I mean, people will collect anything. I find myself so torn about it for a number of reasons, right? On the one hand, like, it's cool that these things will be preserved theoretically, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm also like, $100,000? But I mean, it's not like a work of art that's singular, although that first pair might be, the second pair might at this point be getting pretty close in terms of there not being any others like them. But I then have to wrap my head around it because I'm like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And the Indiana Jones in me is like, put them in a museum. Please don't have it in a private collection. So I know I would never be able to participate in that, even if I suddenly found myself with a lottery win or something, because I would be like, I don't know that this is the right thing to do with money, but maybe it is. I don't know.
So I got a little confused as I was looking at the jeans, just because I had multiple bookmarks that were about old jeans that had been found that were Levi's or maybe Levi's. And I was like, are these the same jeans? Are either of them really the oldest jeans? And Levi's had a sort of contest a while back to try to find like the really oldest jeans that people still had. And I don't know. I just found that was really interesting. And none of them were the jeans that were discussed today. And of course, there are some questions about whether one of the pairs of pants that we talked about really are connected to Levi Strauss. Don't really know. So anyway, we can just leave off, I think, on the jeans talk. Happy Friday again. Whatever's coming up on your weekend, hope it goes great. We'll be back with the Saturday Classic tomorrow. We will have a brand new episode on Monday, and drop us a note if you like. We're at historypodcast@iheartradio.com. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.